I'm going to start a little bit earlier in our scripture than the drama did, so in case you get confused here, we're talking about the same passage, but I'm going to give a little bit of setup for that passage, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. So from Luke 13, beginning at verse 2, I'll begin at verse 1. Now on the same occasion there were some present who reported to him, that being Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now just to give you a history so that way you understand what's going on here. Some people came to Jesus and reported that Pilate had killed a bunch of Galileans as they were offering their sacrifices, and that in doing so, their blood was spilt and mixed with the blood of the sacrifices that were being offered to God. So it says, now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? See, people had been thinking that, well, they must have died at the hands of Pilate because they did something wrong. Okay, and Jesus said, do you suppose, that they were greater sinners than other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So Jesus is calling for repentance among all people here. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he began telling this parable. So we know that this call to repentance is directly connected because it says, and then he began to tell them the story. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. May God bless this reading of His holy word. Now, this is a pretty short parable, isn't it? And you'd think in a short parable there might be one point to the whole thing and not a whole lot more. But the interesting thing is that this thing has all kinds of layers going on within it. The first and most obvious is the literal reading of this, is the need for all of God's creation to bear fruit. And we see that mentioned throughout the Bible. We see Jesus talk about the fact that branches that don't bear fruit are cut off and thrown into the fire, that they're thrown away just like chaff, the waste, when you harvest the grain. But this parable also speaks to the reason that fruit is not born. And that's why we had to look at that first part of why Jesus tells the parable. And ultimately that reason is the lack of connection with God. Now in the case of a tree, it's kind of unfair to say that the tree needs to repent for not being fruitful because a tree really doesn't have a will of its own, as the gardener is the one that determines if it's planted in good soil and has whatever else it needs. But we all know that the parable isn't really about a tree. It's about the people of God. And specifically in this case, the nation of Israel at that time in the first century. And they're turning away from God. It's about this nation of God's people that have said, we've got it pretty good and we did it. And so we can do it on our own. And we'll just live life this way. And God says, but you've turned away from me. You've turned, like we talked about months ago, you've turned to idols. You've turned to other things to bring you joy. You've turned to other things to bring you, you've turned to armies to feel like you have peace. You've turned to other things that aren't of me to find your joy, your happiness. You've turned away from me. Now, it's interesting that in this parable, Jesus mentions 3 years without fruit. And we could just say, well, that's just a random thing. But nothing that Jesus ever says is random. He just doesn't come up with random things to fill in a story. But what do we know? We know that from the time of John the Baptist, that John the Baptist was calling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And some of the very first things that Jesus says in his ministry is to repeat what John has been saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we've got a parable here to the nation of Israel, a story to the nation of Israel, that basically has God coming to the nation of Israel and saying, this thing's been here for 3 years. It's been here the whole time that I sent my son to call the nation to repent and turn back to me, and it hasn't borne any fruit. So along comes an intercessor, the gardener, Jesus, and says to the owner, to God, that he should give the tree one more year. Let me nurture it and care for it. Let me help it to take proper root and give it a chance to thrive, to be reconnected to you as you intend. That gardener being Jesus, who offers a true relationship with God through what? Forgiveness of sin, which comes as we acknowledge our sin and turn to Christ to offer us that forgiveness, the very thing that's called for in those first few verses of Luke 13, that call to repentance. Now, while this parable may be more literally about the nation of Israel in the first century, it is just as applicable to us, because our ability to bear fruit is directly related to our connection, to our having a living, active relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And as Jesus nurtures us in that relationship, we bear fruit. And when something hinders our relationship, then just like the parable, we must turn to God in repentance, seeking restoration of our relationship. I'm going to give you an example, and I want to give this example because it was such a great example that came to mind, and it's not to lift myself up because of what a person said to me, but to show what happens with our fruit at times. A person that I knew that was struggling with some issues about peace, and not peace as in war and peace, but kind of peace in our spirit and trusting God, once asked me why I always had a sense of peace about those things and where it came from. And I told them it came not from me, but from my trust. Trust the Lord with all your heart, right? It came because I trust God with the things that I can't figure out. And frankly, I have to trust him even for the things that I think I have figured out, because I'm not always right when I think I've figured it out. But the truth is that I don't always have that peace. And when I don't, it isn't because God is less trustworthy. Brothers and sisters, if you take nothing away from today, take this away. If we're not exhibiting a fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 6, it's not because God is unwilling to give it to us. It is not because God is less trustworthy. It is because we are failing to trust in him to provide it. And that's what happens when I'm not exhibiting that kind of peace in my own life. It isn't because God is less trustworthy and isn't providing it, but because I am less trusting of Him. If you don't learn anything about the fruits of the Spirit, learn that. Learn that. Fruit is the direct result of being connected with Jesus. Now, there are two kinds of fruit that we often talk about. Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit that is born of lives devoted to Jesus, and then there's the fruit that's devoted to lives born of lives devoted to Jesus, such as good works. Things like Friendship House next week, okay? That's not that Galatians 6 fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you this, without the Galatians 6 fruits of the Spirit, you just can't do that other kind of fruit. You can't have a fruit that is good works. You can't have that fruit of evangelism. You can't have that fruit of caring ministries like the deacons cooking out for you today. Okay? That all comes because it starts with those fruits of the Spirit, that joy, that peace, that love, that gentleness, kindness. Okay? That all is what the Holy Spirit does in the spirit of a person that has turned to Jesus. The other thing that we get confused sometimes is that those fruits that are often born out of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, when Jenna and Jocelyn and all the people come over here and share their music, that comes out of the gifts that God has given them. And the Spirit gives gifts as it chooses. But then the receiver of those gifts then uses the fruit of the Spirit to nurture those gifts and share them. But they're all different. You know, some of you have the gift of hospitality, and some of you have the gift of charity and the gift of giving and all kinds of things. But every believer is to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, because they are evidence of someone who, as Paul says in Galatians 6, walks in the Spirit. So they're available to every believer and should be evident in every believer. Now, I want you to think about my example earlier in peace and think about all the fruits of the Spirit. Because I'll tell you what, when I look out here at you all this morning, I see all these fruits. I see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. But I also know that if you're anything like me, and you're all better, probably, but if you're anything like me, then we all know that sometimes, maybe even pretty often, we struggle with one or more of these and wish we could truly possess them the way that the Spirit offers them. We struggle with anger or hatred. We struggle with a lack of peace or patience. We speak an unkind word, or we lack self-control. But God does not withhold these things. Remember, God does not withhold these things from those who are rooted in Him. So when we're struggling to find that joy, when we're struggling to find that peace, when we're struggling to find that gentleness or that kindness, what do we need to do? We need to check our connection with God through Jesus Christ. Can we put up John 15 and begin at verse 1? Is that possible for us today? Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Is this sounding familiar to our parable? Okay? And we'll keep going. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I love the way Jesus describes this here, because there's one big thing that difference right here in John 15 than in Luke 13. God comes along and says, just chop it down. Get rid of it. I have no use for it. It's not bearing fruit. And Jesus says, he cuts off every branch in me that does not, and he prunes the ones that do so that they'll bear even more. We can go on now. Sorry about that. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So it's like you're already saved. You already know God. You've already been made clean because I've taught you this. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what's the number one thing that we have to do if we want to contain, if we want to carry, if we want to live out these fruits of the Spirit? We have to stay connected to Jesus. And Jesus has us connected to the very root of the plant, which is God the Father. And that nourishes Jesus and it nourishes us. And it acknowledges in what Jesus says that there's going to be times where we're going to have branches that just aren't bearing fruit. And we have to go in repentance to our Lord. And we have to confess that. And it's going to hurt a little bit because that part's going to get cut off. But then Jesus says, then you're going to have the parts that are bearing fruit. And it's going to hurt a little bit, because that's got to get trimmed too. But because you have the ability to bear so much more fruit, we're just going to trim that up. And what do we see happens in a tree when we do that? It just gets more amazing and more amazing and more amazing all the time. Who wants that? Who wants that? Oh, we all do. Who wants to have the stuff cut off? Yeah. No, it's no fun. But we all want that kind of fruit bearing in our lives. We all want to have joy so unspeakable that even in the midst of coming to the end of our life, we're so filled with joy that we can't wait to see Jesus. So if we've stopped bearing fruit, it's because we lost our connection and we probably need some pruning. The last thing we learn from this parable, and this is the other thing, and boy, you know, this is another thing I hope you'll go home with, this hope, or that you'll go to the cookout with the hope and then go home. The last thing we learn from this parable is that God is so patient with us. He greatly desires that all might come to him. Can we see 1 Timothy 2? And we're going to look at the first four verses. 1 Timothy 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Now, there's a good lesson there. Made for everyone? So does that mean we're supposed to pray for those people that we're struggling with, that we don't have peace with, that all that stuff? Yeah. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. And I'm thinking I messed up here and pulled the wrong. There we go. Who wants all men, let's read it together, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? What is God's desire? Is God's desire to cut you off and burn you in the rubbish pile? No. God's desire is that each and every one might come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. Now, does that mean that that is going to happen? No, it says that's God's desire, that God wants that. Okay, now some will reject that. But that is God's desire. Now, we also know that his judgment is true. And at the time he appoints, the branches that bear no fruit will be cut off and thrown into the everlasting fire. There will be, at that point, no extension. No extra year. So we must, as the parable encourages, receive this mercy that God offers. Receive the gift of grace offered through Jesus Christ, who does a work in us to grow us into fruit bearers for his kingdom. Without the tender mercy shown to us by God through Jesus Christ, who offers us a path back to being rooted in the rich soil of God, we would be hopeless. We would be hopeless. But God is patient with us, and God desires for us to receive and then exhibit the fruits of the Spirit and to continue to bear fruit worthy of his kingdom. Thanks be to God. And everybody says, Amen. Amen.